Rising Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, Sunday, July 6th, 2014.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be back with you and share the living Word of God with you. And for those that are listening by way of radio, we want to welcome them in their cars or in their homes. This is a time in which we open the living Word of God. And for wherever you are in your walk today, right here in this beautiful congregation or on the radio listening, God's got a plan for you, and I believe that this word that I want to share with you is something that is divinely ordered by the Lord. But I would like to take just a moment, because we're on the radio as well. This is the 4th of July weekend, and we want to pray for our armed forces men. So would you stand with me right where you are, and those listening by way of radio, we're going to be praying. And if you happen to know by way of radio that there's somebody that is in the armed forces, we're going to pray for them right now that the Lord will protect them and keep them while they're away from us. And remember that as many as there are out there in harm's way, there are many more families in this country that have their children there that are as concerned as they are, as the men are that are out there. So let's pray. Father, we come to you for our armed forces men, the men that are in harm's way in whatever country they're in. We know, Lord, that they have been trained for war, but war is a very ugly thing, and we pray for your divine protection upon them. And that, Lord, wherever there are people that really know you in the armed forces, that they would be a bright light to help men and women that do not know you, even at this hour. So protect them. We thank you for them. We thank you for this country that, Lord, we are allowed to live in, that is still the best country in the world that we live in. So we thank you for it. Ask your continued blessing upon it as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. It's important that I know your pastor does, because I know him very well, and he's a wonderful man. And you understand that maybe he doesn't explain this, but I need to do it this morning because I'm your guest speaker. But when we are asked to speak somewhere, wherever it is, because the Lord allows me from time to time to travel in very unique places to share Jesus, we always say, Lord, what word do you have for your people that will be sitting in the chairs where they are when we open the Word? It's vital to know that, because there's... The Bible is a wonderful, wonderful book. There's a lot of words in it, and there's a lot of truths in it, and there's a lot of truths to share, and there's a lot of places to grow in it. And so we have to somehow find God's direction for a word from Him. And the word is this morning with a challenging question. Are you happy in your liberty? Are you happy in your liberty? Now, if you watch the news at all, you see that there are people that are fleeing from Mexico to the United States with nothing but the shirt on their back, trying to get into our country, into a country that's free in comparison to where they're coming from. They risk their lives, and they walk away from everything that is behind them to try and get into our country, into a country that is free. So that's a literal thing. And there are people that are around the world that look toward the United States and know and have experienced and maybe are that this is still the most wonderful country and the most free country in the world. And there isn't too many people that would argue that point. However, this morning, I don't want to talk about that. I thank God for it, but that's not where we're going with this question. Are you happy in your liberty? Because in this world that we are living, your world and my world, not the whole world, just your world and my world. We're walking in a world that has turmoil, that has sin, that has sadness, that has heartbreak. I have lived long enough in doing this for over 50 years that I have seen people that have known Christ, that have gone through things, and I say, Lord, you have to be carrying them. I don't know how they can handle what they're handling as they walk through life. But somehow, some way, with their encouragement even to us, their lives are being lifted and they're carried by the Lord. However, you can be carried by the Lord and not necessarily happy in your liberty that Christ has made you free. You can walk in this life and say, I remember when I prayed and asked Jesus into my life in February of 1962, and it was the most wonderful experience that ever happened in my life. I walked away from that church service on a Sunday night, went back to the ship that I was on, got the Bible out that I never read, and started reading it, and knew that something wonderful had happened. I couldn't have told you I was saved, couldn't have told you that I was born again, didn't know anything about it, just got my Bible out that I never read and started reading it. And then knew that that was a wonderful place. Those people, whoever they were, in that congregation were so wonderful that I couldn't wait after the ship pulled back into port to get back together with those people. Because you must understand, you are the most wonderful people on this earth, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, than anybody else. Because God has touched your life. You have had a divine experience with God. And it's wonderful. And we thank Him for it. Amen? We thank Him for the divine experience of being saved. However, there is a church in the book of Revelation that talks a little bit. You've heard this said before because your pastor is a wonderful teacher. You've heard it said that this church in the New Testament in Revelation had lost something. It lost their first love. You've got to think about that. Because I know that when a person gives their heart to Jesus and they want to live for the Lord Jesus, keep Him first in their life, that they're going to remain safe in the arms of Jesus. Amen? But there was something that God, through the Holy Spirit, was saying in the Word about the fact of this love relationship, this first love relationship, this love where all of a sudden everything about Jesus is first. When we first came to Him, that was true. But ask yourself the question this morning as we talk about, are we happy in our liberty? Are we living and happy in our experience in this life, in this moment, as you walk through the door with the circumstances that are going on all around you in your life? Now, you want to talk negative? I can hear negative all my life. In fact, that when we ministers go somewhere, we hate to ask, how are you? Because we get a story about something that somebody's troubled with and what they're going through. And that's fine, because we're here to listen. However, I believe the journey, I believe the plan, I believe the destiny for our lives in this life, I know heaven's going to be good. And Paul said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. So I know heaven's going to be good, and we can look forward to that. And that's good when He calls us. However, what about this life? Well, I'm going to read some scripture to you, and I don't know how far I'll get because I said to the first congregation, I've never preached this sermon before. The only good thing about this is I've practiced once this morning. I might be able to do it better the second time. I don't know, but I'm trying. But I'm going to read some scripture to you because it's God's holy words. If you have a pencil, you want to write it down. You can call it a lesson that I want to share with you. But are you happy now? Are you living in the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not in the joy of the world, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the joy that comes from circumstances around you that you call positive, and a lot of them are, but a lot of them are negative. They'll bring you down. Not in that. Are you happy in your liberty that Christ has set you free in? Challenging question for our hearts. John 10:10. We'll start with that verse. The thief, Jesus said, cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. We want to stop just for a second there because we're moving on with a lot of scripture. The thief, the enemy, the negative, the sin, the devil, the forces of evil that are around us all the time are all designed by the enemy to drain you of your spiritual walk with God. His thief to come and steal, take it away from you. And you got to understand something. It's called a thief. Usually thieves don't announce that they're thieves. Usually thieves come unexpectedly and come in and rob and steal, try and take away. So many times the enemy will try and come in our lives and rob us of our joy, rob us of the liberty in Christ has made us free. So Jesus said, you got to understand something. This is what the work of the enemy is going to be. So when that starts to happen, we recognize it right away. But then Jesus said, I am come. These are the words of Jesus in John 10. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He's not talking about a better life with a better car, with a better house, with a better income, with better health, with better circumstances. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a spiritual, anointed, life-giving Jesus living in us and helping us walk through this messed up world with a joy and a happiness that only comes from Him. It only comes from Him. After I got saved while I was in the Navy, we worked with nuclear weapons, and I was the driver of this, we call it bomb carrier, that carried the nuclear weapon. It had four wheels, and it was steered like a little wagon, but it was heavy. And we were all trained to make exact moves at the right time. When you're in the service, you're trained, you do it over and over, and you're supposed to know what to do. So I was the driver of this bomb to drive it under the bomb bay of the plane so that they could put it back and put it into the plane and when we played war. And so that was my job. And there was a moment in which when I got it in position that I was supposed to lock the wheels and stand there, but only for a moment. And after that moment, I was supposed to be doing something else that I was trained to do as we loaded the bomb. Well, I backed that baby in there just the way I was supposed to, locked the wheels, had the pause, and I started thinking about how wonderful the Lord was. Not supposed to be moving. They hollered at me, "What are you doing? Get over there." I got chewed out for not doing my job. I was thinking about the Lord. That wasn't a good excuse, but that's what I was doing. It wasn't the right thing to be doing at the right time because we're working on putting a bomb in a plane. So that wasn't a smart move, all right? But I received Jesus into my life, and I was so in love with the Lord that every second I had a chance to think about the Lord or read scripture or whatever, I was thinking about Him. So after the whole thing was over, the one guy that chewed me out came over and said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "You got a girlfriend on the beach?" And I said, "No, but let me tell you what happened." And then I had a chance to share Jesus with him and how He changed my life. I didn't know anything better. All I knew is I had something wonderful happen to me, and He came into my life, and I was in love with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful thing. That's a start, right? That's the beginning that happens in our lives. That's our beginning of our first love. Well, Jesus said, that's a spiritual life that begins. But that's not the end, see? That's not the end. Some people only stop right there. So I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus, and He's good, and I know God's coming for me. When I die, I'm going to heaven. And that's all very good. You got to hold on to that assurance as we live. But there is a life in Christ that Jesus was trying to say when He said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's something far more in Jesus than there is in this life. Would you say amen? Something far more. Let me go on. I got more scripture here to share with you. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. We've received, when we ask Jesus into our lives, we have received life, but we have received the gift of a life that has been made a way for through the cross. So we're going to have communion at the end of this service, and it's a wonderful thing to just celebrate the reality of the cross. That's a gift, folks. The gift of the cross. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it, and we haven't worked for it, and we couldn't if we tried. So therefore, we receive it, and we can be thankful for it. For His unspeakable gift, the gift of eternal life in Jesus. And everybody thinks, you see, one of the problems with words is that you've got to say them fast and move fast because you've got to get the point across. But when we talk about eternal life, you just think, well, that's when I die. I got eternal life. I'm going to go to heaven. That's true. But Jesus is concerned about our eternal life that started when we gave our hearts to Him and we started a spiritual life with Him. And He wants us to understand, I want to walk with you through this life. Do you remember when Jesus said to His disciples, He said He had done some teaching and it didn't go over too good. And they were leaving Him like flies. And so Jesus says to His disciples, now, are you gonna leave me too? To the disciples? And I think it was Peter that spoke up and said, to whom shall we go? You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? I was talking to a lady. We have so many extreme circumstances that happen to us. Talking to a lady And she said, this is, I can't get into the detail, but she said, what's your take on, this is one-on-one, what's your take on Christianity versus other religions? Don't ask a preacher that question because there is an answer, right? Don't ask a Christian that question because there's an answer. But anyway, I said, oh, Lord, now what do I say? Because I know where to go with all the truth. I got lots of truth. Well, where do you want me to go with this? Because this is a person that I want to lead to Jesus if she'll be open. So she said, what's your take on Jesus and Christianity versus all the other religions? The other religions have good morals. Many of them have good values. So what's your take? So this is my take. My take is that not only was Jesus born of the Virgin Mary, and I always say to people that are not saved, if you have a problem with that, just hang on because we're going somewhere. Besides that, born of the Virgin Mary being the Messiah and so on, besides that, Jesus walked on this earth and had power over everything. He had power over blinded eyes. He had power over the leprosy that was incurable. He had power over the ocean when he spoke the words and peace came. He had power over the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. I don't know if you heard me say this, but I know that Jesus did that and it was a supernatural event. I believe it happened with all my heart. But poor Lazarus, he had to go die again. Poor soul. He was already there with the Lord and God brought him back to show the supernatural power of Jesus. So Jesus brought, he even had power over the dead. And besides that, he then goes on to tell all his disciples and teachers. Now, I want you to listen, guys. I'm going to suffer on the cross. Now, remember, when he said suffer on the cross, they knew all about what the cross meant. You and I look at the cross and think of Jesus. But when they thought of the cross, that's the most shameful death that man can ever die. You don't want to have any relatives or friends die on the cross. Now, that was their view of the cross, and it was still the same. So Jesus said, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to die on the cross, and then on the third day, I'm going to conquer death for the sins of the world. Now, that Jesus did exactly what he said he'd do. Then he comes and meets with his disciples. Then he eats with his disciples. And then he says, now I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and get you. Now, that's the Jesus that I'm following. He's the one that I'm going to live for. And he's the only one that's ever done that in this life. So that's why I follow Jesus Christ the Lord. Good answer, right? Well, anyway, I got done with the question, done talking with her, and I said, you know, you can have him in your life if you want to, too. And I took her by the hand and led her to Jesus. She prayed her heart to Jesus Christ at that moment. It was very precious indeed to see that happen. But nevertheless, why am I saying that? Because we can lose in this life the wonderful joy of living for the Lord. I'm saying some of these things to you because they literally happen. Sometimes it looks like I'm bragging and God knows my heart because I'm not. I'm just telling you the events that happen. But I walk in and I try to witness to everybody I can, Dunkin' Donuts, coffee, anywhere, whatever. Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. You know, straight shots and all the rest. And I've done that in this one place for a number of times. And this one lady I walked in who knew, I don't know if she knew who I was or not. She says, well, hello, sunshine. And I didn't know I was smiling that much, you know, but I mean, I smile at people, you know. And she just read me like I was living in the Lord, had the joy of the Lord, and she didn't know what to say, but call me sunshine. He didn't even know my name. But anyway, I thought to myself, well, that, you know, if you can so live in the midst of your storm. You remember when Jesus was in the storm and he was asleep in the boat? And the disciples woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care, man? We're going down. We're going down. And Jesus says, where's your faith? Now, Jesus didn't say, why don't you believe to calm the storm? He didn't say that. He says, where's your faith? Faith in? I'm here. I'm in the boat. I'm the Savior. I'm the Messiah. I've taught you that all along. There's nothing going to happen to you in this boat. This boat can rock all it wants to rock. But I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Then he calms the storm afterwards. See, now what about your storm? What about your place where you are in your walk in this life? What about all the things that maybe negatively happen in your life? The heartaches, the hurts that come as people live. Divorce, and sin, drugs, hatred. All this stuff that is in this world that you and I see. What about it all? You become, when you live in the joy of Jesus Christ, you become the magnet through the power of the Spirit of God that draws this world to wonder why you're smiling. Just like they said when I was in the Navy, why are you smiling? Are you in love with somebody on the beach? Yeah, I'm in love with somebody who's not only on the beach, but he's everywhere at all times, in every place. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. And the thing is, I can learn to build that relationship, or I can miss it. I can lose. Remember, Revelation, I got something against you. You've lost your first love, the love that is most important to you with all your heart. So important. Let me read some more scripture to you as we look at it. In Psalm 35, 9, My soul shall be joyfully in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. My soul shall be joyfully in the Lord. That's a choice. That's a choice. And it's so important that we get the fact that it is a choice. You, in the midst of your storm, can start thanking and praising Him for who He is. I ask you to practice this in your private life before the day closes today. When you're alone and you're all quiet before the Lord, and you may be depressed or you may be having a difficult time, if you will stop and literally, sincerely, if you want to raise your hands, I always do, but if you want to raise your hands to Him in worship all by yourself, I say to you, talk to the Lord, but thank the Lord. And start thanking Him for His wonderful plan for your life. Thanking Him for saving you. Thanking Him for walking with you. Thanking Him for His goodness in your life. Your salvation, that's the whole package plan that you're thanking Him for, but you can thank Him for it. And I don't know how many million times in my life I've said, thank you, Jesus, for coming personally and letting me discover who You are in my life. I wasn't brought up in this. I wasn't brought up in the gospel. And so therefore knew nothing about being born again or being saved or turning my life over to Jesus and all the rest until it happened in my life at one time. Salvation, Psalm 63:3. Here's a scripture that you want to write it down, and you want to read all about it if you want to when you read about David. Remember, David was called a man after God's own heart, all right? He was a man that was considered to be a man that had a passion for God with all the rest of the things that he got into in his messed up life at times as he was. And he went on to say this, and the words, when this verse was written, Psalm 63:3, when this word was written, when David said these words, he was running for his life, and his life was going to be probably over the next morning, because the people that were out to kill him were outside the cave, and he was in a cave. And when he had to go out of that cave, his life was going to be over. That's all he knew. And so whether it was the night before or the middle of the night, I don't know. But he said these words to his wonderful Lord, thy loving kindness is better than life. But then he goes on and says, my lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. Just before he thinks he's going to die. Why? Having a bad day? That wasn't a good day. That wasn't a good thing. In the midst of that end of my life consideration, he said, Lord Jesus, I'm sure he talked to God. He didn't know Jesus at the time. God, your loving kindness, your blessing, your hand upon my life. When I slew the lions, when I beat the giant with a sling, whatever the battles were all through the years, your divine kindness is better than this life. Now, the challenging question this morning for us is, can you say that in your heart, that His loving kindness, I'm not talking about all the good things or bad things that have happened to you or the blessings, but His loving kindness, can you say in your heart, Lord, your loving kindness is better than anything else, no matter what happens? Because when you say that, when the battle gets heavy, you're able to release that heaviness into the hands of the Lord and rest in Him in the midst of the storm. Want to hear something humorous? I went in the hospital to visit this elderly lady, and she was a nervous wreck. She was in intensive care. And I said to her, they called me and wanted me to come bombing in there. So I bombed in there, and she knew me. And I said, now listen, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. And I said, now I'm going to put my hands on your forehead, and you let the peace of Jesus just flood your being, and you rest. Put my hand on her head, opened my eyes after I got done praying. She was sound asleep, sleeping like a baby. And I thought, it's the first time I've ever prayed for anybody that went to sleep. You usually want to stay awake. But while I was praying, she went to sleep. It worked. But I was thinking, that's really funny. I'm here, I'm praying for somebody, and they're falling asleep while I'm praying for them. Well, don't go to sleep this morning. But at the same time, she went to sleep and then rested in the Lord, and God brought her through. But the fact, but it was funny for me because it was something that happened. But see, there's a spiritual thing going on. There's always a spiritual thing when you've given your life to Christ, a spiritual life that he's got designed. And the wonderful thing about this to me that I'm trying to help you with this morning is that there's a joy in living and loving Jesus that comes as you seek to find that joy in your life in whatever it is. Now, we're going to be receiving communion in a little while. And the scripture that comes to my mind, always comes to my mind, is, for the joy that was set before him, talking about Jesus, he endured the cross, took the shame and despising of the cross for you and I that we might be forgiven. For the joy that was set before him. Do you know you're the joy that was set before him? Did you know that? I'm talking about you, not 2,000 years ago when he died. I'm talking about now. For his, you are his joy. He didn't enjoy the suffering. He didn't enjoy the pain and the agony that he went through on the cross. And it's very difficult to even think about that sometimes when you think about what happened to him on the cross. But he did it all for us so that we could be redeemed through the blood. He became the sin offering for us who knew no sin so that you and I could live where? Just live as being born again once? No, to live in his peace, live in his joy, and live in the liberty that is ours. So my concern for you is, are you enjoying, are you happy in your liberty? Are you happy in your walk where God has placed you at this moment? There's a way to get there. There's a way to get there. Now, I want to read a few more scriptures before I go into that. Jesus said these words in John 17, 13. Now come I, Jesus said to his heavenly Father, talking to his Father, now come I to thee, and these things I spake in the world. In other words, he did teaching in the world with his disciples and all the rest, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. There's something very important here to hear those phrases. His joy is helping somebody else discover who he is. Did you know that? The joy of the Lord is the joy that Jesus is having when you and I are a vessel in the hands of the Lord to help somebody else know the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Jesus, it's been said over and over, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill can't be hid. I love to read the book of Acts, and in our daily reading, in our Bible, we're in the book of Acts now, and the Apostle Paul is always getting in trouble. If you read the book of Acts, the way I like to read it, just it's an event after event of God. And every time he goes to the synagogue, preaches, and gets thrown out of the synagogue. Goes to the next synagogue, and preaches, gets stoned, thrown out of the synagogue, puts in jail, and all the rest. Never stops. I say, Paul, don't go to the synagogue. Save yourself, you know. No, he's got to preach Jesus, because Jesus came for the Jews and the Gentiles. And so Paul keeps going there, and he finds himself getting all kinds of trouble and persecution in his life. But it's important to get this because the joy of Jesus is the joy that you can have. And I find there are many Christians that have not found that joy. And part of the reason is that they've never had the privilege or never looked for the opportunity or never gone in the direction of saying, let me pray with you. If he can change my life, he can change yours. There's a, I think it's in Africa, but there's a group of Christians that were teaching ministers, and in their teaching, they said, now you cannot be a minister. We will not lay our hands and ordain you. until you've led at least 10 people to Christ, personally. One of the goals that you've got to do is you've got to find 10 hungry souls that need to pray the sinner's prayer and ask Jesus into their life. Now, they weren't talking about making a mechanical prayer and somebody saying it because they're on their deathbed and they're afraid of dying. They're talking about you need to lead 10 people to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life if you really mean business about preaching the gospel. And they would not ordain them. If they had not record of people that they had led to Christ, they would, because the key factor of living for the Lord Jesus Christ is helping other people know this wonderful Jesus that's come into your life. And so if you find that you've been caught up in so much of this fast pace. I have 4 daughters. Love them dearly. But I also pray for them very much as a father. I pray for them that they not get so busy. They all love Jesus. They're all in ministry. They're all serving, helping other people know Jesus. But I also watch the speed of their life. And I'm telling you, I get very concerned at times that they not get so busy with whatever they're doing that they're not taking time to really enjoy Jesus. You can do that, you know. You can get caught up in your work. You can get caught up in all the activities of life and just say, well, now I go to this church or I go to that church or whatever, and that's my duty. I've done my spiritual thing. I come to worship with you and love to worship because I get caught up in the presence of God with you people. This is wonderful to come and celebrate Jesus in your life. He's wonderful. He's changed my life, and he keeps on changing my life, and he keeps on working in my life, and he can keep on working yours. But is the joy and the liberty that God has designed for you living in you part of the reason, but part of the reason why people don't have the joy of the Lord is the fact that they haven't got a burden enough to talk about Jesus to help others find him and share how he's changed their life. Jesus wants us to understand that as we move on in our lives. Psalm 100 is a good verse for us, a part for us in the Word of God. And I want to just mention it to you this morning in our lives this morning as we go on. Because the joy of the Lord is a concern of mine in the life of the believer today. And the psalmist David said, first of all, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I believe that the wonderful thing about living for Jesus is his joy. I believe the wonderful thing about Jesus is having him understand and we understand he wants you to be happy in your walk. He wants you to enjoy this walk with him. He wants you to rejoice in the liberty that Christ has made you free and take you on in your life with great purpose and joy in your life. I have a grandchild that goes on a missions trip every summer, and I just love to wait till she gets back. She only goes like 2 weeks or something, and they hit the streets, whether it's New York or New Jersey or whatever. And they're trained, and then they go out in groups and so forth. And when she comes back, you should see her face. She just glows with all the wonderful events that she's talking about and leading somebody to Jesus while they're on the streets, because she just glows with the fact that she's had the privilege of talking to somebody about Jesus Christ and seeing them receive Christ into their lives. Vitally important, and I believe this, that you got to get this, that there's a joy that comes in sharing Jesus that doesn't come any other way. It's a package all of its own for our lives, in our lives. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord, sing all ye lands. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. My first church was way up in Aroostook County, Maine. And it wasn't a big church. It had probably 50, 75 people. And we were, I had preached 2 sermons in my life, and I'm being the pastor of this church. And they had been around longer than I had been on the earth, and so they had a lot of biblical teaching and all the rest. But we had a lot of lessons to learn pastoring that church. And I remember one lady, I'll never forget her, as long as I live. She was the most negative person I have ever met. She was so negative. And so everything about, you didn't want to be around her. You couldn't come up with a positive word in her life. She knew the Bible, but it was always negative. So now we're like 40 years later, And we have correspondence with the lady that was the organ in the played the organ in the church. And so we ask her, we use her name, how is so-and-so doing? Same old negativism. Same old, 40 years later, nothing's changed, she said. She's the same as she was when you were here. Now, oh, that's a sad scenario to hear because of the fact that that's not God's plan for us. God's plan for us is to enjoy this life. Now, listen, you say, you're looking at me and you're saying, well, where's he coming from? I have had heart attack. I've been told I'm going to die 3 times. I have had open heart surgery. I have 18 wires in my heart right now. I'm supposed to now go every year and have another wire put in. I don't know where he's going to put it, but he wants to go in and put another wire in my. So it's not that we don't know conflict or problems or even sickness or problems with health. That all comes. We go through things. But the Lord, listen, the Lord walks with us. The Lord talks with us. And he helps us in this life so that we can enjoy even the storm. The boat's rocking with Jesus sleeping and they're waking him up and they say, what's the matter with your faith? What's the matter with your faith? I'm with you. Where's your faith this morning? Are you in a storm? Are you walking through things that are difficult? Are you hurting in areas that are tearing you apart? God cares about what's going on in your life. And so maybe it's in a storm. But listen, Jesus is with you. Get a hold of him. Talk with him. Rest in him. Don't go to sleep. Just rest in him, all right? Rest in the Lord for your life because he wants you to enjoy whatever it is, whether it's in the hospital or whether it's here, whether it's there, whatever the case, he wants you to enjoy it. So the question, the challenging question this morning is, am I enjoying and am I happy in my liberty? Would you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? My worship team comes forward. Thank you. Just a moment, we're going to receive communion. It's not a ceremony. It's not a ritual. It's a remembering of a divine event that sets us free. And while our heads are bowed for just a moment, the challenging question this morning for us is, could it possibly be that somehow the joy of the Lord has slipped away in these past few days, weeks, or months because of circumstances that have hit you between the eyes and you didn't know it could happen, because of things happening you don't like, because of circumstances happening that are heartache? It could be loneliness, it could be rejection, it could be any kind of thing that is negative. But it somehow has the joy of your wonderful Lord that loves you slipped away. And you've been caught up so busy in this life. Challenging question while your heads are bowed for just a moment. But I'm going to ask the worship team if they will sing a chorus, whatever they got on their hearts, and sing along with them. But I'd like you to meditate on that for a minute. And then I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to go on from there. But just meditate for a moment. Have I lost the joy of the Lord in my life? Where is it? What's happening in my spiritual walk? Of my heart. Heads are bowed for just a moment. And our eyes are closed for just a moment. A challenging question I want to ask you this morning. If you're not satisfied with where you are at this moment in your walk, I'm not asking you what's going on. I'm just asking you, are you unhappy, and do you need to have a new fresh touch of the joy of the Lord in your life? If you're here this morning and you say, I'm a candidate for wanting more of the joy of the Lord in the midst of my journey, just stand wherever you are. Would you do that? Just stand where you are. I'm not going to come to you personally. This is between you and God. Just stand. I'm not happy with where I'm at. And I feel there's a tug of my heart to stand up and say, I want more of the joy of the Lord in my life. I need more. There's a tug of my heart. I don't want to stay the way I am. I want to stay the same. I want more of this joy that comes from Jesus because of the conflict going on around me or in my family or in my home or whatever. I need more of Jesus. Anyone else? Just stand where you're tugged up. No one's coming to you personally. I want this to be between you and God. And as you are going to leave this place when the service is over, that it not just be another stand or another moment, but this can be a divine moment in your life where you are going to walk out of here with a new determination from God, not from man, not from inspiration only, but from the truth. You're walking out of here and you're going to be pursuing the joy of the Lord for your life. Anyone else want to stand before we pray? Okay, this is what I'd like to do. We did this in the other service. Let's do it again. If you're standing where you are, before we close this service, I'd like to invite you all to come and stand up here around this altar. Those that are standing, come up, make a determination. I mean business. I'm not only going to stand, I'm going to walk up around this altar, and I'm going to renew my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just come and stand around this altar for just a moment, and we're going to pray. Jesus, 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 Jesus. As you're coming, just remember, prayers are only words unless they're meant in your heart. Not your mind only, but your heart. So we're going to pray in just a moment and renew our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not suggesting for one moment anybody standing here doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a time, and there are times of renewal for our lives. And a time in which it's important that we say, all right, I am where I am, but I want more of Jesus, and I'm making this commitment to seek more of Him. And that's what we're here for this morning. So as our heads are bowed, let's pray a prayer together. Could we do that? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I come to You. I know You love me, and I want to love You more. So I surrender my life to You afresh. I give my all over to You again and ask You to help me now, from this moment on, to pursue my love relationship with You, to please You with my life, and share Your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. God bless you. Turn around and give somebody a hug and go back to your seats. We've got to have communion and look forward to that. All right? Give somebody a hug, that's all right. I believe they're getting ready to serve you. The gentlemen want to come and serve the communion. I believe we're ready to do that while we sing another chorus and prepare. You receive both as you do normally, and then we'll take the bread and the cup. Thank you. So let's just open our hearts and meditate for just a moment on this wonderful Jesus guiding across for our sins. Isn't that wonderful? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Now, wonderful? Washes us new. And we can celebrate that this morning as we partake. Praise God.
Here I stand, waiting long. Touch me now like never before. Let me change and be transformed. True intimacy is what I'm longing for. Intimacy is the longing of my heart, Lord, of this heart. Intimacy is the longing of my heart, Lord, of this heart. Intimacy is the longing of my heart, Lord, of this heart. Here I stand, waiting, Lord, touch me now like never before. Let me change, let me transform. True intimacy is what I'm longing for. Here I stand, waiting, Lord, touch me now like never before. Let me change and be transformed.
Praise the Lord. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you announce the Lord's death until He comes. When we celebrate this wonderful occasion of communion, we're saying, we're celebrating Jesus till you come. We believe in you. We trust you. We know you did this for us. So we're celebrating the living Jesus till He comes. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful truth to hold on to in our lives, that He's coming for us, that He's got a plan for us, even everlasting life. And that's what John 3:16 always talks about for our lives. But let me just read to you. Well, this is what the Lord Himself said as I passed it on to you and received it. On the night in which He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Shall we partake together?" Broken body for us. Thank you, Jesus. Could we just say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. We can't repay you, Lord, but we can thank you. We could give our whole lives for you, Lord, and it wouldn't be enough, because we wouldn't make eternal life. You did it for us. Thank you, Jesus, for being broken for us, because you love us for an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the same way, He took the cup, and after He had given thanks, "This cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me as often as you drink."
Horizon Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts can be contacted online at horizonfitchburg.org or by calling 978-665-9111. Our service times are 8:45 and 11 a.m. on Sundays and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays.